Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, Martha Carney.
And me, Giles Brandreth.
Giles, what are you doing here?
I'm standing in for John Humphreys, of course. After my success taking the chair for Nicholas Parsons on Just a Minute, Radio 4 have insisted that I step in for every baffled Radio 4 presenter over the age of 106. Yes, welcome to the Today programme, not just to our listeners in the home counties, but right across... Oh, no, it is just the home counties. Sorry. So, as the anti-Semitism row continues to split the Labour Party, I'm joined on the line by Ken Livingstone.
Hello.
Ken, I'd like you to talk for a minute without hesitation, deviation, or mentioning Hitler.
Get out of my chair, Brandreth. Oh,
John, you're back.
Back. Brandreth had us locked in the basement, me and Nicholas Parsons. Get out, you. Be gone to Dictionary Corner and don't come back until you are summoned. Okay, Carney, let's do this.
The headlines. The government says the collapse of the construction firm Carillion will cost taxpayers £148 million, though that is just an estimate and they could do it for £120 million cash.
The timing of Paul Dacre's departure as Daily Mail editor has surprised many, as it was assumed his time wouldn't end until Frodo had thrown the ring into the fiery pit of Mount Doom in Mordor.
Peter Stringfellow has died. According to his wishes, all pole dancers in his club will be gyrating at half-mast.
President Trump has pardoned jailed grandmother Alice Johnson in the first recorded case of him doing anything for an older woman. But the big news of the week is claims that the Brexit Secretary, David Davis, was about to resign. The Prime Minister joins us now.
John, what I would say to the listeners, please don't listen to the nonsense in the press telling you about Brexit. Listen instead to the nonsense I'm telling you about Brexit.
So is there any truth to these reports that David Davis is having a hissy fit and going to leave?
Well, I hardly think he'd leave without there being any plan in place for what happens next. Currently, the Brexit secretary is inside the cabinet, but there will be a lengthy transition period where he will negotiate his exit over a course of time which is both incredibly specific and infuriatingly vague.
Doesn't this show, Prime Minister, that Brexit is a total shambles?
Quite the contrary, John. Surely we should be getting credit that it's only taken 2 years for my government to reach agreement with itself on a proposal already rejected by the EU.
From the makers of A Very English Scandal.
Oh, well, aren't you a thoughty little thing?
Another glamorous, stylized retelling of a British political controversy.
Oh, I just want to devour you.
The story of Ed Miliband's biggest political scandal.
I like your thick rind and your juicy, greasy bits.
Coming soon to BBC One, it's A Very English Sandwich.
Ugh, flip. It's all like gone down my Mr. Mentai. Ugh.
You've reached the greatest voicemail of all time. If you're calling to ask where Melania is, there never was a Melania. She was in your dreams. Leave a message.
Hello, Donald. It's Donald. I hope I didn't wake you. I just wanted to say that I know there was no collusion, but I'm going to pardon you anyway. Not that you've done anything wrong, but you don't need to stay up late anymore, worried and covered in pee-pee. Not unless you want to. Oh, and while I remember, we're out of Cheez-Its since we sent Melania out for them and she never came back. Okay, love you. Bye. Bye.
You're watching Tattoo Fixers on E4. First in today's studio is 23-year-old Raheem from West London.
All right, Raheem, I'm Alice, your tattooist. What are we doing with you today?
I want to do something about my gun tattoo. The son's like giving me a really hard time about it, and they wouldn't give a young, rich black man a hard time for nothing.
Any ideas what you want?
Well, I was hoping we could turn it into something anti-gun, like if we write no rifles allowed above it, or that could just be like NRA.
So I've got just the idea on how to make your tattoo less embarrassing. Let's do it.
After half an hour in the chair, Alice is finished.
What is it?
Just by, like, rearranging some of the ink, I've managed to turn your tattoo from a gun into the three lions.
What? That's way more embarrassing. Turn it back into a gun, quick, before people see it.
BBC Radio 4. Some of you may have heard Thought for the Day this morning with the American Bishop Michael Curry. As a result, the Radio 4 schedules have had to change. World at 1 will now be at 3 o'clock. And Book at Bedtime has been moved to tomorrow morning. Now, though, it's today in Parliament, and John Bercow has made an important announcement.
Recently, a number of perfectly harmless incidents have been misconstrued by members as bullying. Firstly, order! Firstly, what the Right Honourable Member for Doncaster North misleadingly reported having his head dunked in the toilet was nothing more than a centuries-old parliamentary tradition of anointing a member of the Privy Council. Order! And the wedgie that followed, merely an attempt to make the Right Honourable Gentleman's underpants more reflective of the high esteem in which he is held by colleagues on all sides of the House. Order! Order! Furthermore, earlier today, the Deputy Leader of the Opposition alleged that the money with which he had intended to purchase lunch was forcibly requisitioned by the Speaker. I say to him, I was merely appropriating his lunch money for fundraising, and that the instruction I gave him while doing so, namely, stop hitting yourself, was a new health and safety policy. Order! Order! I hope now that we can move beyond such divisive matters and focus instead on what we can all agree on. Andrea Leadsom is useless and stupid.
Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Woo. More on that story later. The government has finally given the green light to building a third runway at Heathrow Airport. I'm joined now by the Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling.
Oh, that's me. Hello.
After so many delays, why this decision now, Mr. Grayling?
Oh, me again. Well, mainly because it stopped people talking about what a balls-up I've made of the railways.
Your critics say these plans are enormously costly and are going to...
New announcement. I am going to shut the whole of the M25 for the next 6 months for resurfacing.
But that's going to cripple the entire road network.
New announcement. I'm announcing another announcement.
Which is?
All pavements will be made of custard.
Mr. Grayling, is this really your strategy? Making a series of increasingly unpopular announcements so that each one distracts attention from the previous one?
Yes. Funnily enough, I came up with the idea earlier this week when I swallowed a fly.
Why did you swallow a fly?
I don't know why I swallowed a fly. I'm similarly mystified about my subsequent decisions to swallow a spider, a bird, a cat, a dog and a cow, when I found myself sometime later trying to ingest a horse. That's when I remember thinking, you know, there's something in this. Although I was also thinking, perhaps I'll die.
We live in hope. Chris Grayling, thank you.
Hello, this is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as I'm celebrating Jeremy Hunt becoming Britain's longest-serving health secretary by cancelling his party and rescheduling it for 9 months' time. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, Prime Minister. David Davis here, your Brexit bulldog. And I am mad as hell. Is it any wonder I'm on the verge of packing the job in and pursuing my first love, penning erotic Star Wars fanfiction? I just can't believe how hard it is to sort out the Irish border question. There was my brilliant idea for a buffer zone, creating a sort of no-man's land. A bit like Between the Trenches in World War I, where at Christmas, us plucky Brits and Johnny Foreigner could set aside our differences with a convivial game of football. That is the most ludicrous nonsense I have ever heard, Barnier says. Okay, I said, what about a giant bouncy castle? Or we just scatter Lego on the ground and confiscate everyone's shoes. They weren't having it, PM. Which is why, after giving it considerable thought, PM, I've decided to do the only sensible thing, build a time machine and travel back to 1973 to make sure that Britain never joins the EEC in the first place. That's why I'm currently on the M25 in a souped-up mini-metro with a Toblerone and a flux capacitor doing precisely 88 miles per hour to go back in time. I know it sounds mad, PM, but it's true. You really can do 88 miles per hour on the M25. You just need guts, determination, and no concept of personal space. Where I'm going, PM, we won't need a customs union. Brexit bulldog out!
Hello, I'm Joan Bakewell. Last year, I tackled the mysteries of mortality in my Radio 4 series, We Need to Talk About Death. And now, I'm moving on to something that to Radio 4 listeners is an even bigger mystery. So join me as I present the Radio 4 listeners' guide to Love Island. Like death, Love Island is largely unavoidable. You've probably heard young people talking about it. Don't worry, it's not a new street drug, although it does cause them to come out with strange things like, oh my God, though I can't believe Adam chose Kendall, I so thought it was going to be Danny, oh my days, that was savage. But it's very simple, really. It's a reality show. You know those, it's like The Listening Project or a particularly spirited episode of Ramblings with Claire Balding. Much like Ramblings, it's set largely outside, only it's on a beach, and they wear a lot less breathable Gore-Tex. You'll probably recognise the host, but maybe you won't quite remember where from.
Hello and welcome to Love Island with me, Caroline Flack. Everything I say sounds vaguely naughty and I respond to everything by laughing like a leery old trucker.
There are a dozen or so contestants on the island, but they're not like the ones you get on Brain of Britain or Counterpoint with Paul Gambaccini. They all have a bit where they introduce themselves, like this one.
Hello, my name's Adam, I'm 22, and I'm a personal trainer. I'm looking for love, I'm covered in baby oil, and I'm in the gym 40 times a week, so my arms are bigger than my legs.
Most of the show is people sitting around talking. Well, just like In Our Time. And like In Our Time, what they're saying is mostly incomprehensible. Here's a clip. See if you can follow along.
Like, Adam's been fully muggy and now Kendall's pied me off. I feel like a melt. I just need to get grafting and crack on or it'll be like Gale Force Prang.
If you're a Radio 4 listener and you understood any of that, seek help immediately because you've had a stroke. If you find yourself watching Love Island with a young person, here's some things not to say. Why are you watching pornography on the main telly? That boy is very muscular. He looks like a baby crossed with a big crab. Love Island on ITV2. I'd say give it a watch, but you can't get ITV2 on your Roberts radio.
From the makers of The Handmaid's Tale comes 2018's bleakest television event. She once had a life, a career, a family.
My name is Theresa, and I used to be Prime Minister of Great Britain.
But then a great darkness befell the nation. Theresa found herself stripped of her dignity by her savage commander.
What is your name?
My name is Theresa.
Wrong. Once again, I ask you, what is your name?
My name is Offarlene.
Correct. And don't you forget it. Offarlene, are you going to congratulate the women of Ireland for repealing the 8th and ending the abortion ban?
Well, I did put on that This Is What a Feminist Looks Like t-shirt, so yes, I probably should.
Need I remind you, Offarlene, I'm wearing my This Is What a DUP Leader Withdrawing Support from Your Government Looks Like t-shirt. Now, who fancies a lovely march through the Catholic suburbs singing Orange Order songs?
Offarlene May, shuffling onto television screens while averting her eyes from Monday.
Prime Minister, it's your Brexit bulldog here. I've arrived in 1973 on my mission to change history and stop Britain ever joining the EEC in the first place. Going back in time 45 years is basically every Brexiteer's dream come true. I bet you're wondering what the 70s are like. Well, the economy's on its knees, there's an unpopular Conservative Prime Minister leading a fragile minority government, and poll dark is on the telly, so nothing like 2018 at all. Now, the only way Edward Heath is getting his EEC bill through the Commons is with the support of the Liberal MPs. So, of course, I could go to each of the Liberal MPs and convince them to vote no to the EEC, but convincing people of anything is not my strong suit, which is why I've decided instead to shoot Jeremy Thorpe. That's why I'm here outside his London Mews house, where Jeremy's enjoying a quiet night in with his lovely wife. She's a big strapping lad. Can't see any possible way that this murder plot could go wrong. Long story short, PM, I've shot someone's dog by mistake. And I've been arrested by the Camberwick Green Police. Please send a postal order for 79p for bail. Brexit Bulldog out.
For years, I've had the job of wearing brightly coloured trousers on trains. Today, on Great British Railway Journeys, I'm going to wear some pink cotton slacks on a Northern Rail commuter train from Blackburn to Manchester.
Passengers on platform one, the service will be delayed indefinitely.
Bradshaw's describes the people of Blackburn as jolly folk, full of life and joie de vivre. And this couldn't be closer to the truth, as after 5 hours of delays, I watch the commuters merrily attack benches and set fire to ticket kiosks. Oh, but who do I see hiding in that signal box? Why, it's Chris Grayling. And now the commuters have found Mr. Grayling, and they hold him aloft. And they begin ripping him limb from limb. Oh, look, there's an arm. Will the commuters do the same to me once they realise I helped privatise the railways in the first place? Surely not. This blazer's pure silk. Quietly, I slip away, Bradshaw's in one hand, Chris Grayling's foot in the other. Bye-bye.
Oh, no. Hello, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah, it's Donald. I've just seen on TV that we're about to have a war with Europe. Does this mean I can fire some nukes?
No, it's a trade war, sir. They're referring to the tariffs.
You tell the United Union of VC that I'm not going to lift the tariffs until they learn to say aluminum. Like I do. We're going to make aluminium aluminum again. Aluminum, 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 aluminum. I've got the best words. Great words. Like covefe. Great words. So great.
Okay, sir.
Did you see that I met with Kim in the Oval Office? Great meeting. So great. Everything will be fine with North Korea now.
No, sir. Wrong Kim. You met with Kim Kardashian. You pardoned Mrs. Alice Johnson.
That's right. I gave her clemency. She should have asked for a satsuma. It's much sweeter. But these people are so dumb. Now, I want to talk about something else, Sarah.
You mean Melania?
Just because she's keeping a low profile, the media are asking questions. But she's fine. I mean, she tweeted just the other day, the one that said, "Hello, my name's Melania. I'm just fine. Make America great again. Kim Jong's a fat man. So, so sad, sad. Has anyone got a voucher for Hooters?" Did you see that my lawyers told Robert Mueller that I can't be impeached?
Yes, sir, although there is some doubt about that.
No, 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 there isn't. Because I've seen a peach and they're really tiny. Tiny, tiny. There's no way he could get me inside one of them.
Good night, sir.
Sarah, can I sleep with the light on tonight?
Sure, sir.
Missile launch in T-10.
Gotta go,
10.
Bye.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Unless you're listening to Four Extra in 2 years' time, in which case I'm a bag lady shuffling around Westminster. I want to talk to you today about Windrush. It seems that we, the decent antiques roadshow-watching imperialists, can do nothing right. We take people from the Caribbean and give them jobs, everyone's horrified. Then we take back their jobs, send them back to the Caribbean, everybody's still horrified. Which is why, when it comes to apportioning blame for the horrific treatment of the Windrush generation, I held my hand up to admit it was all somebody else's fault. Amber Rudd's. Why, in the years when I was Home Secretary, did Amber never once stop me doing all the nasty things that I would blame her for 5 years down the line? But leaving that to one side, I today make this commitment to the decent, hard-working men and women who've been so shabbily treated. You have contributed so much to this country, and you deserve, just as much as anyone else, to enjoy more years of rail and health service disruption, general incompetence, and chaos that my government will continue to deliver. Of course, you won't see me for dust, because when the proverbial hits the fan, I'll be off to my nice second home in Barbados.
Welcome to BBC Breakfast. I'm Steph McGovern. What are you looking at, soft lad? Right, here's a politician who looks like the old sofa cushion your dog has a go on. Jeremy Corbyn, the Tories want to share classified information on terror suspects with local police and councils. What's Labour's stance, big man?
Well, to share information on potentially innocent citizens is a slippery slope.
What you on about?
Let me pluck an example from thin air. Let's say a kindly gentleman has one small picnic with his friends from Hamas, sharing miniature cheese and onion rolls. Suddenly, he's a terrorist sympathiser.
That's quite a specific example.
Fine. Another example. A bearded chap, rather handsome, goes for one boozy Bellini brunch with the IRA. Are you saying he should be the subject of a witch hunt?
Too right I am, sunshine.
Typical BBC bias. What next? You have one sleepover with Idi Amin in the mid-1970s, watch the Pink Panther and a midnight feast, and the council decide you're a wrong'un.
These are very specific...
You go to one stag do with Osama bin Laden, Al-Shabaab and the chaps from Boko Haram, and suddenly, Special Branch have got you under surveillance.
Look, if you've got nothing to hide, what are you worried about?
What if there's a misunderstanding? Let's say they film you in your own private time, running down the landing in your pants, yelling Allah Akbar, death to the infidels. Take that out of context and it looks bad.
Oh, I think I'm being told by your PA that it's time to wrap this up. Well, I think that's what he's saying. He's just waving his two hooked hands at me.
Prime Minister, it's your Brexit bulldog here. Well, things are looking a bit black for me. The judge at the Old Bailey was so biased. He said I was some low-life, limp-wristed fairy who tried to kill Jeremy Thorpe because I was jealous of how manly and heterosexual he was. I was sentenced to 100 years in slave prison with Ronnie Barker and then hanged by the neck until sane. I had no choice but to appeal to the European Court of Justice. But then realised that in 1973 we weren't part of it yet. So I decided to go back in time again to persuade Britain to join the EU earlier so I could clear my name. Long story short, PM, just as that bolt of lightning hit Big Ben, I accidentally set the mini metro to 2149. It's a very different world. The polar ice caps have melted. The Daleks own Harrods now. And the extended Brexit transition period only has another 6 months to run. Brexit bulldog out.
On digital, online, smartphone and tablet. This is BBC Five Live.
This is Jackie Oakley on Five Live Sport. It's like talk sport, but for people who eat hummus. We're going live now to a press statement from England manager Gareth Southgate and Captain Harry Kane.
Yeah, we're obviously all gutted that our World Cup journey has
come to an end so soon. I've got 11 very disappointed young lads in that dressing room who feel they gave everything they could. Wrong statement. That's for the one after.
Question for Harry Kane. What do you think of our chances?
Obviously, we're a good team, a good manager. And as long as we don't draw anyone half this year, I think we can win it.
Yeah, Harry's not used to these. One second.
What?
Harry?
Yeah?
You can't tell him we're going to win the World Cup.
Hey?
We're rubbish.
Oh.
This morning I saw Jamie Vardy get tackled by a training cone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We put the cone straight through to the starting 11.
Oh.
What Harry meant to say was, I think we need to be realistic about our chances. With that in mind, I'm delighted to reveal this year's official World Cup song, courtesy of Chaz and Dave.
Don't get your hopes up, nobody should. We're average and our boss has the charisma of wood. Don't buy too much beer, we'll soon be out of here, 'cause we're England. We're not very good. Don't get excited under any circumstance. You won't be doing much of that old Chris Waddle dance. Don't make yourself ill, pretend that you're from Brazil, 'cause we're England. We ain't got a chance. Every time we play, we say it's gonna be our year, and scrape through the group and get knocked out by Korea. So pray in the sweepstake you get Argentina, or maybe switch identity with your Polish cleaner. Don't get your hopes up, you know this won't be fun. Don't get settled in for a nice lengthy run. You'll soon be pretending to like Wimbledon, 'cause we're England. We ain't number one. Don't jump up whenever we score, 'cause you know they're gonna go and score one more, and the whole thing will end in a boring draw, 'cause we're a little bit more than just a little bit, we're a little bit shit. Oi!
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howard, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Max Davis, Mike Shepherd, Sarah Gibson, Alex Hardy, Simon Alcock and Duncan Wisby. It was a BBC Studios production and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.